This is the Taz and Jim podcast. Best of Taz and Jim podcast.
Taz and Jim listening area getting some international attention. Burlington, Ontario.
Let me guess, good attention?
I find it entertaining, but I'm not one of the neighbors involved in this dispute. You may have seen this story on CHCH television. They did a report on the dildo-covered raccoon house a couple days ago. So neighbors in Burlington, there was a tree overhanging a yard. It always starts with the branches from a tree coming into someone's yard.
Typical.
Tree was dead. One couple wanted the neighbor to cut the tree down, said they were going to help him pay for it. There was some sort of dispute. Bylaw officer was called, and the neighbor with the tree in their yard had to pay to get the tree removed partially. So there was still a big stump. So what they did to get revenge was they installed a raccoon house, kind of like a dog house, on the top of the tree stump. And they painted it bright pink and covered it with various sex toys.
Bit of an eyesore.
Yeah. A number of chimneys coming off of that house.
There, you know, it would have been annoying enough to just have a raccoon house there to attract the raccoons.
Yeah.
But plus all the sex toys, and they're all various sizes, too. I saw a picture in the Hamilton Spectator. And it's hilarious looking. One's rainbow colored, you know, one's blue, one's purple. The weird thing is, the upset neighbors who didn't put the display up took a picture with their heads right beside it. Look at it. And they're like, okay, stand beside the sex toy raccoon house and don't smile. This will be on record forever now.
Look angry about it.
Yeah, why?
Like, I want to know, did you go and buy all those sex toys to put them on the raccoon house, or did you already have them?
I see a little wear and tear. These look like previously enjoyed.
It is a real smorgasbord of sex toys up there.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, so this raccoon house, sex toy covered raccoon house in Burlington, Ontario, got the attention of Jimmy Kimmel's show. Kimmel is off, filling in guest host Anthony Anderson from the show Black-ish. Had this to say last night on the program.
I'd like to take a quick moment to recognize some creativity that happened north of the border in Canada, because I think this might be history's funniest way to mess with your neighbors.
Burlington resident Linda Lee says her morning routine has been disrupted by a display that cannot be missed from her kitchen window. The raccoon house sitting at the corner of their backyard is decorated with various sex toys stuck to its roof. It was put there by their neighbor after a dispute over a tree. The Lee say that the display has negatively impacted their family and social lives, putting a damper on a recent birthday party they hosted for Linda's mom's 91st birthday.
Happy birthday, Linda. Go grab yourself a butt plug.
In the CHCH news story, there's a picture of the entire family in the backyard. Like, cornhole is out on the grass. They got the lawn chairs there all sitting around in a circle with 91-year-old grandma. And the dildo raccoon house just stands out like a sore thumb or a sore something else in the background there.
Why can't I find my glasses? You don't need them, Grandma. I found out if they were used or new. The neighbors admitted that they bought them from China, so they are new at the very least.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently, during that party they had in the backyard, somebody ripped the raccoon house down, so it has been damaged and torn down.
No shock there.
Yeah, the owners of the house say it wasn't us. There was a lot of 20-year-olds at the party who were drinking, and we couldn't control what they were doing. But
that thing is going to go back up and reinforce twice as sturdy, you know?
All the raccoons in the neighborhood are smiling.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast. Best of Taz and Jim. Podcast.
I'm starting to think I should encourage my kids to become social media influencers.
Oh boy, why?
Well, it seems like the easiest way to make money in this world.
If you ask any kid, that is their career plan, it seems to be these days. It appears to be easy.
Oh, my God. The Cash Me Outside girl.
Oh, boy.
From Dr. Phil. You remember this? This was a viral thing, what, like 8 years ago?
Yeah, it was a while
ago. 7, 8 years ago?
This was 10 years ago, maybe.
What do you think is going to happen when you happen to steal somebody's car that decides that they're going to drop a hammer on you and prosecute you to the full extent of the law?
Then I do my time in jail. Jail ain't nothing. That's what I always do, and they never catch me. Ain't nobody going to catch me.
Because you're too streetwise?
Yup. And all these hoes laughing like something funny.
She's talking about the audience.
Thank you, translator.
Did you say the hoes are laughing?
Yep.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes?
Yep. Catch me outside. How about that?
Catch you outside?
Catch her outside, and she'll go outside and do what she has to do. This is mouth.
So you want to take this outside? Because I think they can bring cameras outside.
Really? Because I think I flipped you.
You want to do it again?
Danny, don't get all tough. Please don't. This is not the place, and this is not the time. Sit down.
All right, Danny.
Sit down.
Flip me now. Come flip me now.
So that's Catch Me Outside girl when she was 13 years old. She joined OnlyFans the day she turned 18.
Oh, God.
I know, it sounds so gross. And she's apparently made $50 million.
I think that was when, I didn't know she just turned 18, but I remember when she joined, it was like a record-breaking, you know, effort. So, she was making a ton of money.
She goes by Bad Barbie. People were doubting that she was making the money that she claimed, and she posted her earnings statement from her OnlyFans account. And if it's true, this screen capture, she made $53 million gross. And after giving OnlyFans their cut, she cleared about $43 million, most likely before taxes.
I'm just going to quit my job and leave. You know why? 53 million. I hate to say it. I don't want to be rude, but like there's a million women on OnlyFans. This woman is not only annoying as hell. She's not, I don't find her particularly attractive. I do not understand how she could make that much money.
What is it about her?
She's bad. She's a bad girl.
She is bad with an H. She goes by Bahad Barbie.
I mean, I can
bad
see she
baby,
made that.
Bad baby, or bad Barbie, bad behavy, BHAD BHABIE, bad baby.
I can see if she made that much money out of merchandising, and that stupid phrase "cash me outside" was still a thing. People still say it.
Cash me outside.
So I can see if she made like that much money off T-shirts and mugs, but off of OnlyFans, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Guys, what are we doing?
Why turn the car around?
Save some money. Start a TFSA.
If you are on your way to work right now, turn the car around, go home, and sign up for OnlyFans.
Retire in 5 years. Done.
The world is not fair. There's got to be something that happens in the next 5 or 6 years to this girl.
Like a fall from grace of some sort?
Yeah, karma's got to come back around.
She was already in rehab, which I thought would be the end, but I think now she's on the other side.
Yeah. Is she really happy?
I think so.
That's the only thing that is getting me through this story. She's got to be unhappy.
I mean, you may be right, but boy, when she was on Dr. Phil, I thought her life was going in a completely different direction.
$53 million she's made.
The best of Taz and Jim.
Weezer, a new single, was released this week.
Exciting.
Right. The song is called A Little Bit of Love. Not sure if you heard it. Let's play a little sample of it here. You must like this with your Irish heritage.
Sure.
Take a look at where you started from and where you are today. You climb mountains, swam oceans, you got knocked down and kept going.
Nice and upbeat.
Sounds like spring.
Rebirth.
All
Okay, so one of our listeners heard this new Weezer song, and he instantly sent us a message. His name is Mark Durbridge. He's on the line with us. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Good. You think you've heard the new Weezer song before?
Yeah. Sitting there in the shower with my wife, and it's like, this is Glass Tiger.
Hold on. Did you just say you were having a shower with your wife?
Yes.
Wait, you listen sitting in the shower with your wife?
Do you listen to our show while showering with your wife? That's kind of hot.
It's tradition.
Are you in the shower right now?
Oh. What are you wearing, Mark?
Nothing but suds.
So Glass Tiger, you made the connection between the new Weezer song and Glass Tiger. You sent us a couple links to Glass Tiger songs, and I have done a little mashup here. So the start of that song, you think sounds like the Glass Tiger tune, My Song. Let's listen to a little comparison here. That's Weezer. Glass Tiger. Okay. Similar.
One's a harmonica, one's a penny whistle. I don't know. I'm guessing.
Yeah, I hear the similarity there. But that's not where it stops in your eyes, right, Mark?
No.
Okay. The other comparison is the Glass Tiger song, My Town. Holding on to the rabbit's feet. Bring the wind to carry me over.
Walking down the sunny side of the street. Lead me home to my town. Are you going to play the Weezer song for comparisons?
I'm not hearing it, guys.
A little bit of love goes a pretty long way.
Oh my God.
That's pretty close.
Usually when we do mashups, you gotta speed one song up, slow the other one down, change the pitch or something. But I had a tough time hearing the edits, and I'm the one who edited that. It's an homage.
Sure.
You know, Weezer, they did the thing with Toto's Africa, and then they got into the covers, and Van Weezer, they got into a Van Halen phase, and maybe they're still stuck in the 80s, and they love the Glass Tiger now.
A little bit of love goes a pretty long way. Yeah, I mean,
I'm no lawyer, but somebody may have a case here. Let Alan Frew know. He may want to contact a law firm today.
This is the Taz and Jim podcast. Best of Taz and Jim podcast.
How far can you take a car before it's time to pack her in and get a new one?
Mm-hmm. The article was about a guy in Ontario who's Toyota Sienna, I believe, which is like an old van. I think it was a 2000 Toyota Sienna. How he's got over 900,000 kilometers on it and still going strong. So they would go to Florida every year. That was one of the reasons why it has so much kilometers on it. But, you know, they replaced all the parts on it, got a regular oil change, took care of it, and it's got them at least 900,000 kilometers so far.
He said that's the key, the maintenance.
Yeah.
Follow the maintenance schedule that the dealer gives you. When it's time for an oil change, he gets an oil change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was like, don't go to the scrapyard and get, like, rip-off parts. Get the actual ones from the company or from the dealership, get the new parts. It's worth it in the long run. Depends how long you want to keep the vehicle for. If you want to keep it for one more year, scrapyard, awesome idea. You know what I mean? Like, I got to go get a front headlight assembly for my car. Should have done it 2 years ago.
Yeah, still?
I've been driving around with my brights on for 2 years, and I have less than 200,000 kilometers on my car.
Good luck getting to a million with that, Jim.
I would love to get to 400,000. I would absolutely love. Sure. But it's a 2010.
Imagine how satisfying it would be, because the odometer would reset once you get to a million. Wouldn't it go back to zero?
Oh, yeah, and then you sell it like a brand new car.
Yeah, you sell it. It's got 4 kilometers on it. Here, you want to buy it?
Found it in my grandma's barn.
So what are Taz and Jim listeners saying? What's the furthest that that they've driven a vehicle?
I would say close to a million, but we have Patrick O'Keefe, who says my dad put 650K on his old 96 Infiniti, gave it to my brother, and he wrecked it a few months later.
Oh, of course.
Haas says I put over a million on a 97 Safari van. I got a letter from GM wanting the numbers and maintenance record of my van, and all I got was a stinking T-shirt. So I don't know if the dealership would have you know, reported to the higher-ups that they got this
so
van with over
a million.
So you
said we didn't get anything near a million.
My mistake.
That's over
a
million.
I made a mistake. I thought we didn't have one, but yeah, over a million. And you know those Safari vans, those big boxy mofos?
Yeah. Mrs. Boyd had one of those. My buddy Tommy Boyd, his mom would pick us up from parties in the Safari van in high school.
Unbelievable. It was like half a cargo van almost. It was so big. The amount of gas you would have spent in that for a million kilometers. Okay, here's another one that's close to a million. It's 925,000 K, but it's on a 2012 Mac, like a Mac truck. So they're designed to be on the road constantly all day. So that's not that out of the ordinary. Chantel says over 100,000 Ks on my 2000 Toyota Camry. A lot of Toyotas here. A 97 Toyota Celica that had over 500K on it before the engine block cracked. My dad pulled over to take this picture. 1.8 million on his 07 Volvo transport truck. That's pretty cool. And another one, I had a few friends with this same car, the diesel Jetta, 2000 Jetta.
Yeah, the Volkswagens are great.
Yeah, 635,000 K. Still running great. He still got it.
635,000?
Mm-hmm. 22-year-old car.
Well, you know, my car recently caught fire.
It's a Volkswagen.
Yeah, the brake seized on it. It didn't catch fire. I thought it caught fire, but the brake had seized and smoke was coming out.
Just rolling coal.
And I had a bunch of people like, oh, time for a new car. But I've only got 100,000 kilometers on my car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is inspiring to me. There's no way I'm getting rid of it now.
Yeah. I think there's different ways of driving a car. Because we, like, our commute's, 10, 15 minutes into work every morning?
Yeah.
You'll never get to a million. You have to drive an hour to work a day to get these type of numbers. You know what I mean? You would never get to a million kilometers the way you drive.
Just watch me. Just watch me.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast. Best of Taz and Jim Podcast.
Jim, I know you're planning the wedding, you and Sarah getting married next summer.
Yeah.
Here's a suggestion for you.
Okay.
Why don't you secretly put marijuana in the food without telling your guests? Doesn't that sound like fun?
I can't think of a worse idea.
Here is a 911 call from a guest at a wedding in Longwood, Florida, a couple weeks back.
I feel weird. I feel like there's some kind of drugs in me or something, and I don't know what's happening.
Do you know what you took or what you ate?
I ate the food that was here, and I feel like I need some medical attention, please.
What a party.
Fun. Dance floor's bumping.
You don't think that's a good idea?
It's the worst idea. Anybody who has smoked or ate marijuana more than once, how do you not know that this is the worst idea ever? Nobody likes to be tricked into becoming stoned, I don't think. Unless they're a seasoned stoner. Yeah. That guy sounds like he's never had marijuana before.
Especially with those edibles.
Oh my God. Even a seasoned stoner.
Sometimes you have to like mentally brace yourself knowing that it's coming after you eat a gummy. Well, right?
Yeah.
And if you're not prepared, out of nowhere, something hits you. It already makes you paranoid.
Yeah, like I could see if you got lightheaded out of nowhere. It would, but it is funny though. Like people can think they are dying on marijuana. Like I don't think there's ever been a recorded OD. I think it's impossible. But once you get into that headspace,
oh yeah, it's tough to get
your
out.
Your heart starts beating. Like you almost have a heart attack.
Well, here's another one of the wedding guests who thought she was going to die.
Oh, I feel very violated. I know a lot of people do, and it's just not okay. We were all like distorted, and the very first assumption that people were chattering about is like, are we high? Are we stoned? Did we get drugged? The ambulance and fire truck showed up. There was a young man being checked out by an EMT, getting his heart rate checked. I remember at one point shooting a text to myself, I'm at a wedding. I think I've been drugged. Wow. I hope I'm okay. Not knowing if I was going to make it through the night. I want an explanation. I want an answer. I want to know why. It just wasn't an okay thing to do.
Yeah, I guess knowing what drug you've been drugged with would be a big part of calming down.
Yeah, or enjoying the process.
In that situation.
Remember when spiking the punch was a big thing? I don't even know if that happens anymore, but that... Like, a little bit of alcohol gets the party going. I'm not going to recommend it, but it's a different vibe.
Illegal like to spike the punch.
I would never do that, but I understand the motivation behind it, you know? But the marijuana thing is just the worst idea ever.
Yeah, guests freaking out, people who have never done it, not knowing what the hell is going on.
Poor Granny.
And, Granny was in the corner loving life.
Just this watching, takes me back.
Watching the chaos. Watching the reefer madness. The bride was arrested.
Whoa.
And the caterer was arrested.
Holy.
Because apparently they were the ones who decided to put marijuana into chocolate-covered strawberries, pudding shot desserts, and the lasagna.
The lasagna? Because sometimes you go up for thirds, you know?
Oh, this is good lasagna. Yeah.
The more I eat, the hungrier I get.
I got to say, the bride looking pretty good in her mugshot here. She's got obviously had her makeup and hair done earlier in the day. Yeah, she's looking good. That's one way to get free wedding pictures.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast. Best of Taz and Jim. Podcast.
Jim Kelly is on a soccer team called Great Wall FC. He was asked to play by a guy that that was in his league for indoor soccer in the winter. He didn't realize at the time, but the entire team, except for him, Chinese Canadians.
Yeah, yeah. Mandarin speakers, like during the pregame game plan huddle, all in Mandarin.
Right.
And I'm like around the huddle, just nodding along.
Trying to pick up on what they're saying. Same thing with the team chat on text message.
Yeah, our WhatsApp group. No, it's all English now.
They switched over?
Yeah, which is very nice of them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought this was a great opportunity, not just for Jim to learn some of the Mandarin language, but us as well. So we are learning Mandarin with Jim here.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're getting like some scholastic stuff going here because yesterday's game got a little violent, Taz. Soccer, really? Not known to be violent, but...
It was a rough game.
Yeah. Halfway through the game, one of our players from Great Wall FC punched a player from the other team. It was like... There was an argument with the ref. There was a slide tackle. Things got heated. And like one of the quietest guys on our team who I've known for a little bit longer too.
That guy.
It was the quiet guy. I did not know he had it in him. And all of a sudden, boom, right hook. And I have to give props to the guy on the other team because he wore it like a champ. And I thought, here come the S is going to hit the fan here. And it just kind of fizzled out. Our guy got a red card, of course, and got sent off. But like, you know, I thought it was going to blow up, but it didn't go as crazy as I thought it was. It's funny. Anytime you play in a soccer league that's like casual, it must be the same with hockey too, but over the age of like 25, 30, anytime like things start getting out of control, you hear like multiple guys going, "We got to work in the morning. Come on. We all got to work on Monday.
Are we really clearing the benches? I got to work."
For our Sunday morning 9 a.m. old man soccer league, I'm glad it didn't get out of control, but apologies to the other team.
Well, how did it end up for Great Wall FC?
First win of the season, actually. We won 5-2. Yeah, so it was a big victory despite that moment, and of course, learned a little Mandarin while we were at it.
Okay, here we are, Great Wall FC, our first win of the season. Jai-ho!
Oh, before we start, let's recap what we've learned so far.
Yeah, we learned hello.
Yeah, ni hao is hello.
Ni hao.
Jai-ho is let's go. And I have been saying Jai-ho nonstop. I think they're regretting teaching me Jai-ho so far, but that's a good we say before every game, let's go.
Okay, here we are. Great Wall FC, our first win of the season. Jai-ho! I'm here with James again. One of our players punched a guy in the face. What happened there, James?
Well, he's a soccer player. It's just a kind of say in the moment. Caught in the moment, heated up some wood. Unfortunately, one of the guy like lose cool there, but it happens.
It happens.
We'll learn from this and hopefully never happen in the future.
Yeah.
And a project for the other team. Sorry causing the confusion there. But today, like as Jim always tries to learn some Mandarin.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Today we got to the word of the day. It's a newbie.
Newbie?
Yeah, it's newbie. It's basically says a super awesome.
Super awesome. Newbie.
Yeah, you got it.
So when would you say that? When would you say if like a car is newbie, like a nice car? Or?
No, it's a most of the time it's a performance. Like Jim is outstanding today. We have a forward outstanding. So we have two newbie play today.
Hey, newbie.
Yeah.
Newbie. Oh, I love it. Newbie.
Newbie. Dude, we're going to be completely fluent by the end of the summer. This is awesome. Well, newbie to new you and the team. Big performance for Great Wall FC on the weekend.
The best of Taz and Jim.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.